Hey there, it's Colt Cabana. Thank you so much for checking out the past shows from the archives. All the past ones in this feed are ad-free. I took out all the ads. If this is something you like, you can listen to every single episode of the Art of Wrestling podcast dating back to 2010, absolutely ad-free for only $4 a month on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/Colt Cabana. All right, enjoy the show. This week on the podcast, it's WrestleCon and Mania Weekend. Next week's podcast is about the convention. This week's podcast is about the shows, including DDT, tagging with Santino, and performing at Madison Square Garden. Enjoy it.
This is the Art of Wrestling with professional wrestler Colt Cabana.
Doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're about to listen to The Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast. It's a personal journal. It's an entryway to the minds, the souls, the hearts, and the lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. I'm walking over here. That means I'm a guy who is in New York. I'm a schmoozer. I'm a mingler. I'm a guy who just goes into a world-famous 20,000-seat arena and just has people say his name. That's right. I, most importantly, am a professional wrestler, and I am sitting here live in my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Before I go any further, this is a fan-supported and listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you. We give it to you free of charge every single Thursday. ColtCabana.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts from. Couple great ways that you can support, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend, tweet it out, Facebook it out. Let everybody know that you listen to this podcast. The best way to support, though, cultmerch.com, digitalcult.com, t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVDs. Action figures are gone. You can still get those micro brawlers. Grab a children's book, cultmerch.com, digitalcult.com. Now, cultmerch.table was up and flowing for the most part at the convention, but also at these each individual shows, and that's what I did. I had 5 shows. Probably could have been a little bit busier. I chose to do the convention more than I did the shows. But let's get into it. Wednesday night, got into New Jersey. Plane was a little bit late. Still made it on time. A tradition, Rahway, New Jersey, and WrestlePro. The show was called Funny Equals Money. It was a lot of fun shows. A little weird timing on booking that Michael Jackson impersonator, but I know he was booked, you know, months ago before this documentary came out on HBO. Also, he didn't do that stuff. I mean, I guess he is technically worshiping a horrible, horrible man. I did find it funny. I said, only in the world of professional wrestling is the Michael Jackson impersonator the big, big baby face. And he was. I do remember wrestling in Cleveland for Cleveland All Pro Wrestling years ago. There was a guy named the Basket Nazi, and he was a baby face. Weird to be a young Jewish wrestler on shows with a guy named the Basket Nazi, but that's independent wrestling for you, and that's where we were today. Basket Nazi was not on WrestlePro, thank God. Blue Meanie was, though, and he fits right in.
Well, we're on a show based off of comedy,
which we are prevalent for.
You especially. You wearing these glasses with your glasses is very funny to me.
Yeah, it's like that thing in the movie Airplane where he takes with the one pair of sunglasses and he got another pair of sunglasses underneath there. Yes. Robert Stack.
I would like if you had the Meanie trifocals that were like painted onto the black one.
It's getting to the point where I need them.
I was looking at your social media the other day, and like you're straight up like gray silver fox now.
Oh yeah. Well, it also helped that like growing up I was like a super light like blonde haired kid, but just the years of I guess dying and bleaching and being meanie just stripped it.
My blue is gone. Like you'll never be blue in the real world, will you?
I love being blue in the real world, but like sometimes people suck. Like you know, Halloween's next week, pal. Or
really?
You know, oh, people are jerks. You know, it's like I loved it. I loved the way.
Well,
it looked.
Nowadays with girls, like there's so much like coloring their hair is like so easy. It's like not a whole process. Like there's just product you can just buy and it's like colored in a second, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I do. I tell everybody, you know, instead of just for men, I use just for meanie now. So just like I like messing with the promoters. I'll show up and I'm like all grayed out, and they're like, "Oh shit, he's not blue. What's he gonna do?" Blah blah blah. And then like I'll put the blue in, and I'll walk around casually like I didn't just put blue in their hair, and they just like do a double take, like you know, did I, what the hell's going on here, you know? So I'll be like, oh, what, man? What's wrong? You look funny. What's going on?
You did it.
Just fuck with people.
Yeah. So what? When did you, would you say you were comedy from day one? Or like, cause this is a new era of like, what's comedy?
I've always wanted to be comedy. Like, growing up, my loves in life were, you know, music, pro wrestling, and stand-up comedy, you know? I steal a lot from, like, a lot of my facials I stole from, like, George Carlin and stuff like that, and I would just watch him so much, and I would just pick up his mannerisms and stuff like that, so, like, and, like, anytime, like, something, you know, people hated, like, when Vince started doing the comedy with, like, the skits of Saturday Night's Main Event and stuff like that, but I love that stuff, you know, when they're doing the Halloween parties and, like, you know, somebody's getting thrown in a cake or something like that. I always thought, wrestling needs an ebb and flow, and there always needs to be a little bit of a tension breaker with the comedy, you know?
Where, like, was there a point where you realized you're doing good comedy work? And, like, I'll say this, I assume it's, like, the BWO stuff, like, the skits and everything.
Yeah.
Or was it before that or after that where you were like, oh, I'm a bit of a comedian here?
Yeah. I would try to do it like before I was the meanie, and then like I was doing it in a way where when Raven saw me, it triggered like, you know, the idea for the meanie, and then like he wanted me to be his version of the meanie, but then like he wanted to start doing the parodies, and that's like my wheelhouse, that's my strength, like more of my personality came out, like more of me came out when we started doing those parodies. And what you saw was me when I was a kid, you know? I was like, I always, you know, would tell people the shit I used to get in trouble for in grade school, I'm getting paid to do now. You know, teacher would send my report card home and go, please ask me to stop making fart noises in class, or, you know, act like he's falling, you know, tripping and falling. And I would just do gimmicks just to make the classmates laugh, you know? I feel good if I can make somebody else laugh. It's a treat.
Perfect. Who is it? It's you and Nova tonight, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, us and Nova, we're doing the gauntlet and stuff like that. And I like working for WrestlePro. You know, it's a good promotion. And I like seeing, Nova. Because these things are like family reunions, you know. You don't get to see each other that much anymore.
That's what this whole weekend's going to be like, right?
Basically. Basically, I got a few gimmicks going on. And I love it. I love this time of year. I love being around wrestlers. I love the camaraderie, you know, the people I've worked with before and stuff like that.
Are you crying?
No.
Crying and wrestling?
No, I'm sappy. You know, I was raised by women, so I, you know, I kind of...
You're Bob Sappy.
Yeah.
You look the same.
I love you, man. You're one of the funniest people I know. No, seriously. And I admire... Like, I just saw the match you did in Japan, and it was fucking...
Oh, did you watch that?
Huh?
You watched that?
Yeah. It was fantastic. And I was just like, man, I could never be that good.
Oh.
No, seriously. Wow. That was funny. That was fun. I mean, I do, like, what I do basically now is like greatest hits, you know, because I try to do other stuff and then people call out, dance off, do the dance off. It's like, you know, when Dice Clay tried to write new material, right. You know, I tried to do new material, people just want the hits. So,
give me those nursery rhymes.
Yeah. Hickory Dickory Dock. Meanies, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the highlights for the show myself, and I talked to him about it, is Santino Marella. I don't know, I thought he was done wrestling. I thought his body was broken down, but, you know, when he stopped wrestling, he was still under contract for a while with WWE, and I don't know the politics that's involved with that, but then came a point where he was no longer under a contract, and he's at his battle arts training facility in Mississauga, which I've been to many times, and it's beautiful, and from time to time, he'll take a booking, and we convinced him to do this booking. It was a tag match, myself and Santino Marella versus the new Heavenly Bodies, the Carino brothers. And it was just great to be in the ring with Santino and have him say a couple words.
When was the last time you wrestled?
Well, this year I had a couple matches, but they're mostly tag matches. Mm-hmm. And then by somehow, I guess miscommunication, I had a singles match in Puerto Rico a few weeks ago. But,
are people wrestling in Puerto Rico still?
Yeah, it was a brand new company called WWW, World Warrior Wrestling. And good production.
Did you survive?
Yeah, I was.
Did your body survive?
Opening contest, nothing crazy. But I was actually nervous because, you know, I haven't done that. And I was okay.
Okay. Thank you for doing this match. The promoter asked me, any suggestions for a show called Funny Equals Money? And I said, listen, my... I don't know, not my dream, no offense to you, but something I always wanted to do was be in the ring with you or tag against you or wrestle with you or tag with you, and I got to be done tonight.
Yeah, I mean, no joking. I was actually flattered and honored that you mentioned me, and this is actually probably my only match, I don't know, till there and for the year, kind of.
Okay.
Because now it's kind of summer, and summers are busy, and I really can't see my... I don't have nothing booked, and I'm not really taking bookings, so... But...
this was it.
So it's my first time coming to... what's the gimmick? The WrestleCon.
Yeah.
And so I'm making a whole week out of it. I'm doing the tailgate party. Anyway, so it was my first little WrestleMania experience post-WWE. So it's...
Did you say to yourself you wouldn't do any of these things?
No, I actually don't. This is my first time. So I'm kind of doing it just... Really,
why not?
To come down, see some friends, and today was a perfect example. I come here and just tons of friends, and that's, and you get paid to come hang out with friends.
See, well, you could have been doing this a lot more.
Yeah.
My
schedule doesn't allow
me. Schedule.
Yeah, I'm a coach, and I do, you know, I got obviously battle arts, and we do our own shows, and then I'm doing some commentary for judo from time to time. And then, to be honest, I like to go camping and kayaking and stuff that I always dreamt of doing that I never did, and now that I can, we do it, you know.
Have you seen the DDT promotion in Japan that has matches while kayaking and camping in the forest?
I have not.
I'll send you a link.
Actually, sorry, that is one match I want to have. So I've never wrestled in Korakuen Hall, and the World Championships of Judo happened to be in Japan in August, and there's a DDT match in Korakuen Hall in August 25th. So I want to see if I can get booked and go do a double shot where I do some commentary for the IJF, and the International Judo Federation, and do a match. So that would be like an amazing trip for me. Pro wrestling, judo, Japan, three of my favorite things. If I can...
You need me to say it? You need me to put in a word?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, okay. We can tag. We're undefeated.
I'm now with a different company called New Japan now.
Oh, yeah, they're okay.
But I'll put in the word for you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, fun equals money, and I think, hopefully they made some money tonight, and I appreciate it.
I imagine it was on the pay-per-view buys.
Yes, yes.
That was my Wednesday night. Thursday, I had two shows. The first show is probably going to be my last show for a while for the DDT promotion. I was in the DDT Rumble. I got eliminated very quickly. The show, I was proud of Takagi, who owns DDT, that he was able to bring over all of his wrestlers and his vision to New York. It was a sold-out crowd, and you could tell the amount of pride he had that people really enjoyed the DDT product. It's a little hard to be in that DDT locker room and say, oh, I want to get a Japanese wrestler to talk on the podcast. Mao is pretty good with English, but Shigehiro Irie, who wrestles for DDT, he's been traveling all over the world, and he actually recently became a freelance wrestler, but still wrestles with DDT because he wants to wrestle in Germany and England, all over America, Mexico, Canada, and he is. And I thought I would get him on to represent the DDT wrestlers and the Japanese wrestlers.
Hi, my name is Shigehiro Irie.
We are where? What is the show we're at today?
DDT show. DDT in New York show.
In New York?
Yeah.
It was almost a year ago where you were like, I want to come to America. And you came to Chicago. And you stayed in my apartment. You remember?
Yes.
And now the whole company has come to America.
Yes. But a big, very good crowd.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice.
Very
yeah.
Good. So how is your English coming?
My English?
Yeah.
Very bad.
Very bad?
Yeah.
Do you study?
Yes.
How do you study?
I watching Disney movie.
Your favorite?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Do you watch with subtitles?
Yes. English voice and English subtitle.
Ah.
Yeah. Now I watching Winnie the Pooh.
You like?
Yeah, my favorite.
Your favorite?
Yeah.
Tigger?
No, Pooh.
Pooh?
Yeah.
You look like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, thank you.
You think that is nice?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yes, you like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, very, very. I love Winnie the Pooh. Yeah.
Okay, and now you go to England, you go to Germany.
Yes, wrestling is very nice. Yeah, but Everything little expensive.
Expensive. To pay you to wrestle, expensive. Now, your price, very high.
No. I'm very cheap.
You're cheap.
Yeah, I'm indie wrestler.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to indie wrestler.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
The DDT show ended at 10:30. The AIW show started at 11. Ethan and I were on about 12:15. So we made the decision to stay a little bit after DDT, try to sell some merchandise, and then head on over across the river. Remember, DDT was in Queens. We're going to head on over to New Jersey, and I was going to wrestle my son, MJFC.
What are we doing right now?
Hold on. Can I film while you do that?
Sure.
Like a little inception?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you take the way.
Oh, shit.
Can't get comfortable?
No. This is like sums up millennials right now, even though I'm not even a millennial.
What do you mean? I'm both recording at the same time.
You're vlogging while I'm podcasting. Yeah, just say what you're what's going on right now for the audience, not the ones watching your YouTube show right now.
Well, we are currently driving from Queens, New York to Jersey City, New Jersey. We're definitely going to be late. We asked when we were up on the show and then mathematically dissected whether we would be able to make it on time. And I don't know if either of us are smart enough to actually decide whether we made the right choice or not. But we have to drive 40 minutes now to AIW and hopefully make it.
I mean, that's the theme of this weekend. I'm not that brutal, but did you say you had 9 shows?
9 shows in 3 days, yeah.
Roll them off for me.
So today I had 4 shows, starting at noon, then 3:30, about an hour away, and then 8 o'clock, about 30 minutes from there, and then now 11 o'clock and 40 minutes away. Once I get through today, I'm good. Tomorrow, I only have 3 shows, 11 o'clock, 3:30, and then 8 o'clock. And then after that, I'm done. And then 2 shows on Saturday.
Was it just a matter of, like, I can't say no to anything, or I'm trying to top on as many shows as I can?
I wanted to be the busiest wrestler Mania weekend.
You want that Elgin spot?
We don't talk about that.
And of course, you were filming that for your new YouTube vlog, which you'll stop in 3 weeks, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. And like, I'm not trying to look at the numbers, even though that's like how my brain works.
How can you not on YouTube? It's right there when you look it up.
Never mind that. Like when the views drop off, who's subscribing.
Oh, you look at the analytics.
I look at everything, yeah.
You just said you were supposed to not.
I know. It interests me. But I'm going to push myself to do it for a year at least so that I can show my daughter like what I did while she was one year old. Yeah.
Well, this will be a fun part of it. There's a lot of madness. You collecting a lot of stuff?
Yeah. Trying to, as best as I can. Yeah.
Well, we're both documenting it, and let's hope we make this show.
And we're also very uncomfortable in the backseat right now. We literally can't see out of the back of this vehicle because we've stacked everything up so high in the back. And, yeah.
And we ran into a little bit of traffic. It was actually stop and start traffic. And we got there, I would say, 10 minutes before our match. We got there right as Scott Steiner and Hornswoggle were getting into the ring. And we were right after them. I didn't see the match. I can only imagine it was amazing. My friend Marty DeRosa, who did not make it out to WrestleCon this year, but he watched every single event streaming through all the platforms. I know there's a bunch. I'll recommend the High Spots Network. I know you could watch a bunch through there. Marty said AIW was his favorite event of the weekend. And one of mine, too. So you can check out that vlog that Ethan Page does on his YouTube page. He's been vlogging. Check it out. The very next day was Friday. I conventioned it up. And after the convention, I had a show. Let's see. The match itself was me, Tommy Dreamer, and a radio DJ named Babchick versus Matt Stryker and the Best Friends. And the show was much like Fun Equals Money. It was a variety of everything. And it was called Joey Ryan's Penis Party, featuring this man, Joey Ryan.
Literally, I was at the merch table, and they come up to me, and they were like, hey, are we good to start? You know, it was like 7:43. They're like, are we good to start on time? I said, yeah, I'm good. They're like, do you want to kick off the show? And I said, oh. I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know, I should. I'm the host. So you know, so I said, come back in about 10 minutes and grab me. So I came back, I sold a little more merch. I got
grab
back.
You anywhere but your penis, though.
Grab me anywhere but my penis. They escorted me backstage or whatever. You know, I was getting there like, okay, we're going to start in 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, I should think of something to say. And, you know, they had the penis druids with me. So I was like, oh, I'll dress, you know.
All different colors this time.
Different colors this time. It's a little bit more politically friendly. So I just was like, okay, I'm going to say, you know, I'm Joey. This is my penis. These are my penis druids. You guys are my penis people. And then, you know.
To which a penis people chant went
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Towers of the penis people.
Am I underselling my promo? Penis people chant. You know, I wanted to address that, like, there are so many shows, and I didn't want to say, you know, necessarily, you know, we're up against NXT tonight or whatever, or, you know, I didn't want to, or Jen Ellis Spring Break, I didn't want to, you know, harp on it too much, but I just said, you know, there's a lot of wrestling in town, this right here is my WrestleMania, so let's create a WrestleMania moment, and I got up on the second rope and I counted to three and I had everyone point to my penis like it's the WrestleMania sign.
So we hope by the time this comes out that picture has made its way around the internet.
Yeah, I hope somebody snaps some photos of it. I mean, there was enough time for...
There's professional photographers here and everything, yeah.
Let's hope there's a shot of that.
So how did this penis party come about, actually?
High Spots hit me up because they thought, you know, like... Because there's so many shows WrestleMania weekend that they start to blend together if it's just company that uses the same guy's company that uses the same guys, so they want to start marketing, like, you know, specific shows, like, kind of like, I mean, all it, like, Janela Spring Break really started the whole thing, the whole trend of it, but they want, you know, High Spots kind of wanted their own version of that, so they, you know, thought, you know, let's get Joey Ryan, let's do the penis party, and they pitched it to me like that. I mean, and then, you know, I was like, so I'm always self-doubting, I'm like, I don't think people are going to go to this, you know, like, but they were adamant about it, so, and they did, and you know, even though we announced the date before, because we announced Friday with the assumption that NXT would be Saturday like it normally is, and then afterwards NXT announced that they're Friday, so we were like, oh man, this is really like we really gotta like make this something to get people out, and you know, we were really worried about ticket sales, but I think we did, you know, I think this building holds 1,500, and we probably did about 1,200 tickets.
Yeah, it's packed. Yeah. Packed to the penises.
Yeah, so that's not bad.
The penises are packed.
That's not bad being against Janela Spring Break and being against NXT.
And then I want to share this story before I leave you. I was talking to the Million Dollar Man, Teddy Biasi, and he said, oh, what show do you have next? I said, Joey Ryan's Penis Party. And he goes, I'm sorry, what? And he was just like, I was like, oh no. And I go, I don't want to tell you. He goes, no, tell me. I think you said, what'd you, I go, Joey Ryan's penis party? He goes, what is that? And then I explained the whole dick flip into him. Yeah. And as I'm explaining, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This is your business. I am so sorry. And he was laughing. He liked it. So.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. That's always like me when I'm on shows with like legends and I do the dick spot and I come back to the curtain and I immediately go up to him and says, I'm so sorry. I shake their hands. I'm so sorry. What I'm doing to your business.
But I bought a house, so. Yeah,
right. But you know what, though? It was kind of cool because like most of them get it. Like, you know, Teddy Biasi, I was on a show with Hacksaw, not to sidetrack the story, you know, a couple weeks ago I was on a show with Hacksaw and it was the first time he saw the gimmick, and you know, I was obviously I'm always on the fence of what side they're going to be on, whether they're going to be like you piece of shit,
are you
like,
pro penis or anti penis,
right. And you know, he came up to me afterwards, he said, brother, I loved it, and I smiled at him and he held up his 2x4 and said, like, believe me, I get it, I had to do something stupid to get over too. So I mean, I think a lot of veterans and traditionalists, they know how hard it is to get something over and then how to keep it over. So they understand what I'm doing and why I'm carrying it.
Your penis is the new 2x4. Same size.
And from there was only one more show left. The next day was Saturday. I did the convention during the day and then I headed on over to Madison Square Garden. And before everything started going and moving and the show started and I was out there a long time, two of the separate owners, I'll talk with them back to back, Kerry Silken and Joe Koff. Kerry Silken, of course, owned the company for years. Joe Koff now currently owns the company. And I want to get their perspective on being in the middle of the garden before we got into the madness.
I've been on the other side of the rail. We're talking right by ringside. I have sat front row at wrestling. I don't ever think I sat front row at a concert, but no, I have not been.
How proud are you, friend? Is this the coolest?
Indescribable. All the work everyone put in, you yourself, all the boys, through the time, good and bad. Like Led Zeppelin says, good times, bad times. You know, we had our share. When my woman left home with a brown-eyed man, I still don't seem to care. But we made it through those bad times.
I mean, Gary, you...
It's so exciting.
You picked this... I mean, within 8 months, this was your company, essentially, right?
About
a year,
that.
Right. Yeah. And then for whatever, 10, 12, 13 years, you were the man. It was your company. It's so crazy because, I mean, you're the backbone. You kept this thing all alive for so many years. And you, but then also before that, your previous life was like the garden, right?
I went to so many events besides hustling tickets out in front, which came on later. But my dad took me to that Freddie Blassie Morales match. I went to these championship Ranger games. Then when I was old enough, go into these concerts, Led Zeppelin, this one, that one, the Who. And then hustling tickets out front, as we said. But now to be inside with Ring of Honor, yeah, and New Japan and Colt Cabana, it is special.
All worth it.
I got a question.
Go on.
Let me ask a question.
Okay.
That's right, folks. You've wrestled all over the world.
I have.
How do you feel about tonight?
I mean...
Working in the garden.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a secret beforehand, but I'll be in this battle royal tonight.
Ooh, I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Oh, hell no.
Oh.
How cool.
I just broke that to you. Yeah, so I get to
congratulations.
Wrestle. Congratulations.
Because when I asked the question, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm asking him. He's just going to be announcing. He's going to be sort of bummed out.
Yeah, I was, but I... When the Rumble was announced, I went to the powers to be. I said, hey, can I be in this? And they're like, of course. And I was like, great. That's all I want is
now,
to perform in the center stage. And then I get a twofer because I get to wrestle and then I get to commentate the whole show.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a labor of love, right?
Yeah, I'll they're definitely not paying me for both, but I'll...
It's just labor. Yes. But you love it anyway.
Yes. Yeah, well, so exciting. Thank you so much for everything you've done for Ring of Honor and for professional wrestling in general, Kerry. This is so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
We are standing and watching Madison Square Garden being put together for a very historic night. I'm so excited from all kinds of levels. Emotionally, my father took me to Madison Square Garden when I was a young boy. As a matter of fact, I was so young that we had a lie because the age limit was 14 to get into Madison Square Garden. And I may have been 12 or 13 when I saw my first match in the old Madison Square Garden. And just, I can remember it to this day, the experience of what it was like when I watched the ring lights come on.
What was your first main event?
The main event had to be a Bruno Sammartino match.
Right. Who was the wrestler that you remember that you think about?
The match I remember was between a gentleman by the name of Hans Mortier, who was billed as the German Giant, I think, at the time. And he was incredibly built, almost like very muscular, very naturally muscular, wore a gold helmet, was managed by a man named Wild Red Berry, who was a guy, older guy with a derby hat, a hat and a cane and a checkered jacket. And he was fighting Edouard Carpentier, who was like a legend in his, and really, Colt, when you think about how Carpentier wrestled, it's very much a Ring of Honor style.
I was gonna say one of my favorites, because when I try to like study old wrestlers, so many of them are just tackle, maybe a 5 minute headlock, but he had such a unique, weird style. I loved Edouard.
And he had such a unique build, and he was, so this match went 45 minutes. It was a time limit match at the time. And I remember just being gripped and gripping how engaging these guys were, how good they were at their craft. And, of course, Mortier's finishing hold was the guillotine, which was just a strong arm full Nelson. And I remember he locked Carpentier in the guillotine. And what seemed like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, with Carpentier struggling, not giving up. And Carpentier ended up flipping him over his back, breaking the hold, which I remember the arena absolutely erupting. But I think if they were chanting in those days, they would have chanted, this is awesome.
Right.
But that wasn't a New York chant at the time. And, of course, the bell rang. It went to a limit draw. But I just said, this is just the most amazing thing I've ever watched. And I saw unbelievable matches. I saw Gorilla Monsoon make his American debut at Madison Square Garden against Bruno. I saw Dr. Jerry Graham fight Bruno Sammartino. My era, for your listeners, was probably 60s. Early 70s, because then I moved down to, when I went to college, I got involved with the championship wrestling from Florida, which was NWA. So I had an experience of both of these promotions.
Wow. And so you're like you're a you're Mr. Businessman, like you're a legend in the Sinclair world, and so when you took over the company of Ring of Honor, I want to say like, oh, you would never expect this, but maybe that's what business people do. Maybe you had like this 7-year plan or 10-year plan to be at Madison Square Garden. I don't know.
I had an aspiration to always want to be able to play a building like Madison Square Garden, but had no pathway at the time. So the pathway actually became as we grew as a company and saw that we were able to start filling buildings in the thousands. And, you know, New Orleans was a good example of that. And when WrestleMania was announced to be here in New York City, it really started limiting your abilities to have a building that could do over 9,000 or 10,000. And when we realized that Madison Square Garden wasn't going to be used for any of the bigger festivities, and really to have the wherewithal to be in a Madison Square Garden because of our size, because of who we are, and really because of the good work that you do, Cole, for us, we said, let's go for this and let's see if that's an inevitability. And it progressed. And then, of course, we all know it regressed a little bit. And then it progressed to today. So it's a you know, I never thought we couldn't play it. I just didn't feel we were ready to play it until this year. So it was really timing and serendipity and all of those things.
And here we are. We're hours away. The crew is up. Everyone's putting stuff together. There's wrestlers roaming around. This is very cool. Congratulations.
Thanks, Cole. You know, I have a photo. I walked in here around 10:30, and it was just me on this empty floor in this empty arena. And it just really said to me, wow, we really have come a long way. So thank you, and thank you for your contributions. You know how much we appreciate them.
Everyone was super giddy. Everyone was super excited. We were all just like these little children. And one person that you usually don't hear from, but I wanted to get on the show, who I knew would be just as excited and was Paul Turner, referee Paul Turner, one of the best. And when I walked up to him with a microphone, he was like a physical wreck. Imagine what he was like refereeing in front of 20,000 people if he was a wreck when I put a microphone in front of him.
Well, I've known you for almost 20 years.
Yes.
You've never been on my show. You never get the love that you should in wrestling. You're a quiet, secret weapon in the world of wrestling. Yes. You're the best.
Kind of live off the grid, yes.
You live off the grid. You're one of the best referees ever in all of the world.
Thank you.
And we're sitting here in the bleachers before the show starts. Maybe give me your thought process.
Just like everyone else, I walked into the venue and I immediately looked up. I seen the Ring of Honor logo on this big billboard type thing, and goosebumps, instant goosebumps. So I had to pinch myself.
Are you getting choked up right now, or do you have a cold?
Yeah, there's something in my throat.
It made for good audio. Yeah.
But I could probably shed a tear right now if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Because it's so emotional, you know, like.
You've been here since day one.
Day five. It was show five.
Were you not on the first ones?
No. I came in crowning a champion.
No shit.
Yeah.
Who's the... Well, we don't talk about
that. Yeah.
Keener.
Originals, yeah.
I thought you were on the original crew.
And I didn't even attend the first show, but I did buy the VHS tape of the first show, and I watched it. I watched the hell out of it.
So on the fifth show you started.
Yes, July 2002. Murphy Rec Center.
Yeah.
Sold out hot as hell. So Ref Hansen and myself ref that 60-minute Iron Man match with Spanky, Doug Williams, CD, and Loki. Mm. That was amazing.
And you're from around here-ish.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah. How far?
From here, 3 hours.
Oh, okay. Did you ever go to stuff at here?
I attended a house show here and a pay-per-view here. Okay. So, but never thought I'd perform here.
Do you have referee nerves?
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't get nervous, I would probably, I don't know what I'd be doing. You know, like, why are you doing it? I still get the chills of...
Even on regular shows?
Yeah.
So this is a mess. You're a mess right now. Are you a mess right now? Your wife is saying you're a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you, dude. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes, we both get to enjoy this,
yeah,
right?
This is really cool.
You get to say my name on commentary all the time.
I will.
And maybe you always ask why I wink at you. It's just, I don't know why. It's just like maybe a habit just with you.
I just thought you let me know I'm doing a good job.
Yes, always. Yes.
And I'm handsome.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then eventually the show started. I got some catering, which was delicious. I was well aware of what I was doing. I was set out to commentate the show. I went to the commentator's booth. There was an honor rumble where, just like a Royal Rumble, every 1 minute somebody new comes out. My new BFF, Yano, came out at 27. He came over to the commentary booth. He told me to get in the ring. I did. I magically had my wrestling singlet and gear on. I ran to the ring. My music played. The crowd was amazing. They were chanting my name. They were going wild. Threw some elbows at Liger. Threw some elbows at the Ring of Honor and New Japan guys. Eventually, Haku put the Tongan death grip on me. Yano came. He helped save me. And then Minoru Suzuki exited myself and Yano. But when this show was announced, I knew it'd be fun commentating. And I did commentate. I commentated the whole thing with Kevin Kelly, Ian Riccaboni. And throughout the whole thing, Chris Charlton came in, Caprice Coleman came in, Nick Aldis came in, Mandy Leon came in, and it was fun. But I just knew my heart would sink if I wasn't able to get in the ring and do some action. And months ago, when this Honor Rumble was announced, I went to the powers to be. I said, "Can I please?" And they're like, "Yes, of course." And so that's how it came to be. A big night for me, a big night for everybody, but also Matt Taven, who won the Ring of Honor Championship in a ladder match with Jay Lethal and Marty Scurll. A really big night for him, and I wanted to get his feelings just maybe less than an hour after he won the championship.
I mean, we're in the locker room after this show. You just won the title.
Eating
on the big
pizza.
Is that your slice?
Yeah.
Dude, I've been looking at that slice, and I was like thinking about stealing it.
Honestly, like Dalton came over the first thing and handed me pizza. I was like, "How do you know me so well?"
And I was like, "Where did we get that pizza?"
It's catering, I guess.
There's pizza.
I guess. Yeah. So after this, hustle over there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Most of like that's not important. You just had the biggest moment of your life. How you feeling?
I don't know how I feel. It's so weird. It totally has. And like when I was up there and just looking around and like took the belt down, it was like, holy shit, this is happening, huh? So, I mean, it's the biggest moment of my career, probably the biggest moment of my life. Like I grew up a wrestling fan, you know what I mean? Madison Square Garden, how do you get much better than that? But I'm so happy right now. It's hard to put into words. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so hard to get the smile off my face right now.
Yeah, I don't even know what to put on this thing. I don't know. I just wanted to hear your smile through audio.
Hey,
visual.
Did you hear the response you got out there? Holy moly. Yeah,
well, it's not about me.
I like when you looked back when everyone was going crazy as Liger's trying to eliminate you, and you're like, oh, look at me.
I got to let them know I know what's going on.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
No. You did wonderful tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so happy and proud for you.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Thank you.
You've muddled through a lot of waters to fucking...
Yeah, a couple things have happened here and there, and somehow I just keep on rolling, so...
I think that's the name of the game. You stick with it, you just fucking... If you fight hard enough, it happens, right? They're all clapping for me and the podcast right now. It's pretty great.
So it's O'Connor.
Cool. How you celebrating?
My friends and family came to the show, so they're at like a bar across the street, and I'm going to start there and just get weird from here on out.
All right.
I'd like to think that sums it all up. A fun weekend, a celebration of good times, great memories, a lot of wrestling, a lot of interaction, a lot of wrestlers, a lot of people, a lot of variety of different shows. Before we get out of here, let's get into some plugs and...
Upcoming events!
All right, the best way you can support cultmerch.com, digitalcult.com, Twitter and Instagram at Colt Cabana, Facebook.com/Colt Cabana. My storytelling podcast, Pro Wrestling Fringe, which I did put up that Tom McGee version on my YouTube channel. Got a lot of hits. Plus, past archives of this show, old and new, are ad-free on StitcherPremium.com/Colt. Use the code Colt, get a free month. ColtWrestling@gmail.com is my very public email. Maybe a promoter want to put me on your upcoming show or convention or even be documented on this very podcast. I also have a YouTube channel. I also have a website, ColtCabana.com. That's where you can find my P.O. box. Upcoming this Sunday, April 14th, Columbus, Ohio, ROHWrestling.com. Saturday, April 20th, Anchorage, Alaska, WrestleProOnline.com. And the night before, April 19th, I'll be doing a live podcast at Coots. Friday, April 26th, Lynbrook, New York, CreativeProWrestling.com. Saturday, April 27th, Concord, North Carolina, YouTube/NWA. Friday through Sunday, May 3rd through the 5th, Los Angeles, California, I will be with Matt Classic at LuchaVavoom.com. Wednesday through Sunday, May 8th, 9th, 11th, and 12th, Buffalo, Toronto, Grand Rapids, Chicago, ROHWrestling.com. Saturday and Sunday, May 18th and 19th, Walpershofen, Germany, Facebook, Forever Wrestling. Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada at thestarcast.com, just starcast.com. Friday and Saturday, June 14th and 15th, Cleveland, Ohio, AIWrestling.com. Intro music is by the Ukulele Teacher on YouTube. Outro music by Superfun, Yeah Yeah, Rocket Ship. Podcast cover art designed by Jimmy Lee. Photo by James Musselwhite. Thanks to the Blue Meanie, Santino Morella, Shigehiro Irie, Ethan Page, Joey Ryan, Kerry Silken, Joe Koff, Paul Turner, and Matt Taven for coming on the show this week. Sponsors, HighSpots.com and the HighSpots Network, an amazing VOD service with brand new $5 wrestlings, PWGs, Best Friends, Egos Amigos, AMA knee pads, gear, masks, even a wrestling ring. And OneHourTees.com, they help run ProWrestlingTees.com. That's where you can support your favorite independent wrestler. Next week, I got some people from the convention to come on and talk. That should be a fun one. Until then, this has been The Art of Wrestling. For Colt Cabana, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.
And, hey, hey. How's it going?
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for that.
I,